This is a great way to catch up on what you missed from Kennedy Malloy. But you don't want to miss Milwaukee Redemption Day, April 11 only. T's and C's apply. See milwaukeetools.com.au. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Shut up,
what
Dave.
What was that noise?
Well, you put the microphone on too early, you idiot. Oh, you know how it works.
Did you just fart on it?
Hello, Australia.
What was it?
It's when. Listen, can we have an opening,
the
please?
The guys are talking.
If I had any energy, I'd throw my headphones down on the bench right now. But God love you.
All right.
You're adorable.
Hey, I was clearing my throat.
Is that what it was?
But it was unprofessional of you to
would
put
you
the
like
microphone
to start again or would you like me to do it?
Forget it. I'll just soldier on. It's real. I lift the skirts on radio.
Oh,
what, you're
on.
Getting to see the Hey, what a great show we've got for you
well,
today.
Well, I hope so after that shitty
Well, you know, you weren't even here. I think you were right. still...
What do you mean? I wasn't here. Well, I had to get my lipstick. I had to brush my hair.
Had to unlock the toilet door.
It's the quickest wee I ever had.
Apologise to Farris. Again.
Don't bring it up
again. He's back on deck today.
Is he?
Yes. Hey, guys, big show. Trending now. We're going to take you through all
Lots
the big news that's breaking around the nation. You had one job. Well, it's something you introduced the other recently, Jane. And it's a rather hard look at people who, aren't doing
who had one job and didn't do it properly.
That sounds good to me.
All right. We've also got something very exciting happening today in the studio. One of our old mates is coming in. We're going to spend a bit of time with him in the studio. Ben Elton.
Oh, wow.
I was going to leave him to last.
You know, I was actually going to say Sir Ben Elton is what I thought I was going to have to say.
But it is Sir, isn't it?
Is he Sir? He should be.
I think he is Sir.
Sir Ben, we'll ask him.
Sir Ben Elton.
He's coming in here live.
I'd be a Duke. No, I'd be a Baron. Baron von Malloy. Baron von Mick Malloy.
Or Duchess.
No, don't you dare. Who would you be? You'd be a dame. Wouldn't you be an old... Is Old Duck, is that a title?
I don't care.
Please welcome Old Duck.
Shut up.
Please.
We've also got bad parenting.
Oh, well.
Well, I'm sure I'm not involved
both
this
in, probably both in
hey,
that.
Hey, Chris Hemsworth might be. He might be involved
all
in bad parenting.
Right, okay, well, we'll get to the bottom of that. All we'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. So much water wade through. Hello, Dave.
How
are
guys?
You set me up. And Jane, how are you going? I heard a rumour. Did you or did you not have to drop your dog off on set on your way to work today?
I did.
What's your dog doing?
A dog is...
Your dog is massive, by the way. Do people understand? That's the size of a small horse. It's a
Shetland. Small pony.
It's beautiful.
Small. Small pony. Big dog.
I got a photo of you in bed with the dog. Can I post it? Please.
I was asleep.
Were you? I haven't seen it.
It's pretty good.
Got bed hair.
Consider it done.
No, let me just see if I can put a filter on. I might have. No, Indy's got her first acting role today.
And what's she doing? What's she playing?
Well,
did you say too much?
She's playing a dog. I can't explain too much, but I know that I had to get her to set and there are other dogs involved.
Oh, okay.
And where they shoot Utopia, it's,
been like
it's
the
an
set
office
of maths
building.
With all the girls fighting.
Yes, it is. But I did stop filming. I didn't mean to, but I sort of thought my daughter and I went and we thought we'd be very subtle just to bring the dog in. But everything stopped and all the cast came out and all the makeup people, everyone, because.
You've interrupted a filming day.
Yeah. I did. I think I got in a bit of trouble from the boss.
From the boss.
The boss was happy
he'll
to
be
see
home tonight.
To see his beautiful dog. So yeah,
how's it all going? What are you filming? What is it?
Utopia is the television show.
My name ever come up there for a major role? Like, because I wouldn't take a small one. I'd want a major,
Well, Matt Preston has his name's come up. A few other names that I can't divulge. But,
so hurtful, Jane.
Well,
Kennedy.
I'll tell you what. You know Rob Sitch. You can ask him.
Oh, I'm sick of it. Every time I play golf with him, I hassle him about it.
I want to find out how day two of the bed's going. The temper
mattress again.
The temper.
Me and Liz don't talk to each other now in bed because we don't see each other because she's so far away on the
what,
other side
what
of the
What an ironic twist this will be.
Yeah, this is so good.
You've grown further apart.
It's like I'm in my own bed now. This is how big it is.
You
it's
really
amazing.
Look quite. Your eyes are sparkly.
I love it so much.
You're so happy.
I told you that it's the best thing that's ever happened to us.
Beds change people's lives.
It does.
And they're a very big. You know, after you buy your house, this used to be in the olden days.
Yes.
So there's very big purchases you make in your life. It's your house first. Then the next piece was your lounge suite.
Yeah.
Not in the days when there's IKEA and Freedom where couches cost about 10 cents.
Bed's a luxury item.
Bed Correct. Is also but right
I
mean, up
but
there.
But you don't need it. I can live, if you give me a couch, a TV, and a coffee table, I can live anywhere.
But that's what I you can sleep live on. You anywhere. Fall asleep on your couch too many times,
I love it.
Though.
Do you know what? I can't throw my couches out. I have what's like, you know the old elephant graveyard?
Yeah.
I know where all my couches are. Really? So I give them to people, but I know where they are, and occasionally I just come around and visit.
Have a seat.
I could locate every couch I've owned in the last 15
really?
Years.
Really?
Actually, I find it hard to give away to lose a couch as well. Oh, well, there's your
what
couch.
What about, here's
story.
My new idea for a bed. I'm going to do like giant dog baskets.
Oh,
like
yeah.
A giant
okay.
dog basket for a human. And I'm going to copyright Mick Molloy. And I'm going to, you give them out. And then
oh, yeah, that's
go,
cozy.
You put it up and it's got the little walls around the outside. Yeah, yeah.
Could you press a button and it's a toilet pops up in the middle?
No, you don't do that.
God,
but what I do is I just do a number of circles before I eventually lie down and go to sleep.
All right.
What do you reckon?
Yeah.
I love it.
All right. When we come back, trending now, people.
We are here thanks to Milwaukee, and tomorrow is Milwaukee Redemption Day. MilwaukeeTools.com.au for info.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Hey!
Have you seen this?
Baby, it'll blow your mind.
Jeez, you're trending like crazy.
You're going to blow up the internet.
Kennedy Molloy's
trending now.
Can I start with a massive news today? Let's go to Melbourne. CBD, 100,000 protesters marching, shutting down the city.
Gosh.
I can't help thinking what movie they want us to watch. Because we know that the pasty vegans yesterday shut down the city because they wanted us to watch a movie. So I'm guessing, wow, these guys must really like a movie.
That's right.
Or must be really insistent that we watch something.
Wow. That's tough on the people of Melbourne to have to put up. But this is the second day in a week that they've had to put up with closures and disruptions and, you know.
Must be a good movie.
Mm.
That's all I'm saying. What would you go and shut down the square
Oh, Ferris
for?
Bueller's Day Off. And I'd
is that what you do?
I'd recreate
you go change
the,
yourself
parade.
To a Go change yourself to a thrifty van.
Yeah, I would.
And disrupt traffic for Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Dave, what about you?
Haven't thought about it. Don't know. I have nothing. I don't think I'd shut down any part of the city. I don't think it's not the right thing to do.
Great input, Dave.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
What about you, Mick?
Oh, you know, any of the first three Porkies. I would have thought.
Was there three?
Be,
was there?
Well, no, there was more.
Oh, that's
but I only rate more. The first three. By the way, while we're talking about trending now,
yes.
we're getting loads of feedback about your amateurish start to the start
to
of the
do
show.
With me. I've done my
Dave,
job.
To,
it was a bit.
My job is to turn your microphones
well,
on when
even,
the show starts.
You weren't even here, so you would have heard it like everyone else on your way, but listening on a speaker.
I was putting my lipstick on.
Have you got it?
I was here.
Listen.
This is Kennedy Molloy.
Just turn it up a bit.
What's that noise?
Well, you put the microphone on too early. Isolate that sound.
This is the noise that you made.
play it as the start without the music. Shut up,
what
Dave.
What was that noise?
Will you put the microphone?
Actually, I did it too. I cleared my throat. We're trying to be professional and have clear throats.
It's not a great start.
And we don't have control over
show,
our own microphones.
The two of you see me in my office.
Well,
afterwards.
Mics go on when the show starts.
But how come I can't turn my mic on?
I have control of that. I run the board over here.
It's kind
of What?
Why can't I be like Kyle Sanderlands and do my own
controls?
Well,
you're more than welcome to come around here and run the bus.
Jane,
like that
you...
sounds.
Excuse me. What? You're very cranky for someone who has a good night's sleep.
Hang on. All right.
All right. What have you got?
I've got a story that's very upsetting for Australians and for people from the UK. Fish and chips is giving people the flu.
Oh, wow.
It's terrible, and new studies shown that good old fish and chips could in fact be giving us the flu because researchers at Michigan State University, which is a very, very reputable university.
Michigan?
I should know.
It's not one of the big
I've paid
ones,
to have
it?
Children go there. That was a joke. Get it? You're like Felicity Huffman.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Wooshka.
Okay, off you go. Yeah.
The researchers have shown that a common food additive found in takeaway fish and chips may in fact hinder the influenza vaccine. So, you know, you go and have your flu shot. Well, there's an additive and it's okay. You won't understand this because you're both not very smart. But it's tert-bert-jul-hyqualine.
That's not a word.
It is so a word. Or as we know it in the biz, TBHQ, can be found in cooking oils, frozen meats, and particularly fish, as well as in processed foods such as chips. So if you've got the double whammy, fish and chips, and you're trying to fight the flu and you've had your flu shot, that little baby is going to play havoc with it and then you'll get incredibly sick. So I'm sorry, fish and chips.
What about Chico Roll? What's the Chico Roll do? apart from give you the squirts.
Apart from the fact.
Is it Dimmy? Can I have a Dimmy?
Yeah, Dimmy.
Yeah, actually, I know they make Chico Rolls. Yes, they do.
Calamari ring. Can I have a calamari ring?
If you really want to. Don't they get trapped in your intestines?
No.
They don't.
What are you talking about?
Those rubber
calamari rings.
Yeah, I'll be worried about those. It's like swallowing chewing gum.
Potato cakes?
Yes. No. Potato cakes. Oh, hang on. Let me just go to the fine print here on this story.
A scallop. Can I have a scallop? Mm.
Yep. Oh, the fine print says it's only happened to mice, so humans should be okay.
So you've just wasted our time.
No, you know what? I'm sitting opposite a fish and chip shop, and I don't want to put anyone out of business. So.
I love the fish and chip shop across the road.
So
I love the
go
way.
Go your hardest, everyone.
So across the road, we've got a fish and chip shop, and all the seagulls congregate. So it's funny because it's a really busy street, but if you're stupid enough to park out the front of the fish and chip shop, you get carpet bombed. You can't.
It's where they all sit.
And today, the Prime Minister was across the road.
Oh, by coincidence.
And. There's a six Secret Service guys standing around getting carpet bombed by some irate seagulls.
All right, so I just want to make it clear.
What can I have?
They haven't done the research on humans at the moment. It's really only mice, but I just want to all give you a bit of a scare. But it's all right. Go and load up on your fried flake and chips.
Hey, well, what about for delivery? Have you heard this now? Google have got a drone delivery service and it launches in Canberra. And it's been given the green light to take to the skies.
Wow.
So,
you should be there as one of Canberra's on very low down
the
list.
Well, I should have launched
favorite
this.
Sons. You I'm should a, have.
I'm Canberra's favourite son, Jane.
Don't, not favourite.
I am.
No, the guy from Hawaii 5-0 is.
That's not true.
He is number one on
the list. There's some nasty Fritzl-style conductor who's made
hello to our listeners in Canberra, by the way.
Overseas, he's been hogging the top spot. I am.
Hey, so they got a drone and they're delivering what? Gelati and stuff.
Well, you can, but I mean, let's get down to it. When can my six pack? when can my six pack or 24 hours arrive?
You've got to know how to control those drones.
But
it's
I'm not flying
hard.
It.
I know you're not. I'm saying the people have to not only run a shop, but be expert in flying a drone as well.
How do you do that? What do you do? You ring up and you say, I'd like a six pack, please.
Yes.
A packet of pizza slice and reds and some dingers.
haven't they heard of a bike? Why don't they ride a bike and drop it off?
Can you get it to my
can
place?
You fly it open? Hey, good times happening at Mickey's house, everyone.
If you want to cheer me up now, can just fly some stuff over. Oh, Mickey, he's on his own. He was upset.
Some chicken noodle
soup. I'll find him some noodles.
Yeah.
Some,
all right.
Some noodles and some
cinnamon tea cake.
Oh, yeah.
With butter.
A drive home that's a little unpredictable. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Time for this.
You had one job.
You had one job.
You had one job.
And you pinhead screwed it up!
Hey, I've got one. Can I kick off?
Yeah.
So, iconic beer, 4X.
Yes.
We're well aware of it, especially all our northern listeners will attest.
Yeah.
A brand that's recognised all over the world. It's a good Aussie beer. It's been around the place forever. Iconic. Especially in that part of the world where they take brewery tours. And that's the sign of a good brewery. Like if you're in Guinness or whatever, the idea of, to me, it's like that's my Willy Wonka.
Bucket
list. That's my ticket. The first time I went to Carlton United Breweries, it was like the Laverne and Shirley credits, you know, where they were mucking around.
Yeah.
I was on a forklift. I was driving around. I was going berserk. I just couldn't believe my luck. And part of it is a tasting, and you go and do a beer tasting.
Oh,
and the iconic 4X Ale House Bar and Restaurant at the brewery has been operating for 15 years. Guess what? Without a license.
Like one job to do here.
Oh, whoops-a-daisy.
You are a brewery.
Wow.
You brew and distribute beer. If you ask guests into your house and just sit them down at your ale house bar, and restaurant, you should have the licenses in place to serve beer. They don't have it.
All right, calm down.
One job.
They've had all the 15,000 people each year go.
Hello, Mason. Can you come and see me in my office, please? Yeah. Yes. How did we go with the license for our bar? Oh, it didn't.
Oh,
the brewery self-reported to Brisbane City Council, and
that's good.
After self-reported, how embarrassing! Mm.
What are they going to do? Are they still able to?
They're operating. They've been that's what I love. Well done, Brisbane City Council.
See, that's what we want.
They've agreed. They've given it. They've waved them through and said, "We'll allow
God.
Get your license in place."
I will take note. Yeah. Everyone else that you stupid council.
Right, every other council in Australia. That's how you deal with stuff.
That's clever.
I mean, it is 4X and it is beer and it is our national pastime. Yeah. So that their hands may have been tied on this.
I'm glad that they were good about it.
But I mean, come on, guys. You're a brewery.
Well, it slipped through the keeper, obviously. Hey, a mother and kids went to go and see a movie, and they went
What was the movie?
The movie was Peppa Pig.
Oh, great. Nice. It's great for the kids.
Peppa Pig.
Peppa Pig.
And it's a feature film.
What a great day out for the kids.
Yeah.
Young kids, too. What's the average age for your kids who are
watching? Oh, probably 3 to 5.
2 to 5, I
reckon. Yeah, 2 to 5. Really
little. Delightful little kids, just above toddler.
That's right. Yeah, it's really
little. It's one of the ABC's most highest rating shows, Peppa Pig.
Up there with Bluey, I imagine.
Yeah. So the mum was at the Empire Cinema in Ipswich.
Good work.
Took the kids. But this is the trailers that they heard for the little kids before the main feature.
Before the main feature.
Pig came on.
He may look like us. He's not like us.
You had one job.
That was
it was a slasher film.
A psychological horror film, Ma. And apparently there are a lot of kids crying.
Oh, you reckon?
And this lady's daughter has been really subdued since the experience.
There have been kids carried out on gurney tables.
Yep.
I mean, like
got to be kidding.
Tears.
You can't unsee that.
No way.
No. She tried to cover her daughter's eyes when the trailers came on, but no, there's just not enough hands to cover all those eyes of children.
That's horrible.
Yeah, that's pretty
horrible. Wow. He had one job. You get the idea. Give us a call, 133353. Do you know of a one-job style cock-up? You had one job. Let us know. Get involved. Maybe it was you. Let's get to the bottom of this.
133353. You can tweet.
Peppa
Kennedy
Pig.
Malloy.
Peppa Pig. I mean, come on, kids.
The film went ahead.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
We're in the middle of you had one job and you couldn't do it properly. Can I mention the organisers of WrestleMania? WWE fans who are at their biggest occasion, WrestleMania, sitting out the back were chanting, "We can't see, we can't see." And they'd put on the lights around the ring were so bright that from the back seats it was just a blur, like an eclipse.
you couldn't
look at it without squinting.
You had one job.
Could not see a thing.
Wow.
Come on, guys.
Get the money back.
Go and see it. Oh, I doubt that.
Is it expensive to go to those places?
Yeah, what am I, Jane Ticket Tech?
Okay. I've got audio of the crowd at WrestleMania.
Have you? Let's hear it.
Oh, let's go. Have a listen.
Please turn the lights off there, Channing.
Please turn the lights off. Please turn the lights off. Which is the same chant that your wife makes in the bedroom, Dave. A lot.
Well, I'd say that's what all women chant in the bedroom, actually.
All right. Do you have one you'd like to add? 133353.
Yes.
I've got one. You had one job.
It's hot cross bun time, right?
Yum.
They've been out since January.
Been for the last 3 months.
They've been out since Boxing Day. Yeah.
It's a big occasion for the bun.
It is. You always look forward to that tasty bun in the morning with your cup of tea and
lots
a bit of butter. Unless you find a calculator in it.
Oh. You had one job.
What?
In Facebook post today in Adelaide, someone got a surprise package inside their hot cross bun when they bit into it. It contained parts of a small calculator, including a battery. So, you might not want to chomp down on that
It's a lucky hot cross.
I know they put choc chips in now, or they put, you know, chocolate ones or different things, but maybe not your calculator.
Carmel's on the line. Carmel, you know somebody who had one job and
stuffed
it
up?
Yes, well, his nickname is One Job. It's my husband.
It's your husband?
No. It's my best friend's husband, and he's probably listening. So, hey, Holger, One Job.
Hey, I love that nickname.
Yeah.
What's he an expert in being One Job at?
I can't really pinpoint it to just one thing, just many things.
Well, give me an example of one job that something that
he's stuck. Throwing a barbecue, no gas in the gas bottle.
Well, that'd be...
That qualifies straight off the bat.
That's all we need. Thank you, Carmel.
I've got a friend of mine who I won't name, Dr. Rob, the doc, who has this one big bash a year. With his wife, Deanne, at their house, and they invite everyone who travel a long way. Like, you have to travel about an hour and a half or 2 hours to get there.
Okay.
Big occasion.
I've seen my mate, Dr. Rob, sweating over a barbecue.
Why?
I'm going, something's not on here.
What's happened?
He goes, dude, it's a public holiday.
Yeah.
I've got no gas. Oh. I can't fire up the barbie. And let's just be honest, he can get in a bit of trouble.
Like, one job to do here.
And I went, dude, you need to go now. You need to find some... I'll try and stall. But you need to do... to break into someone's house and get this gas bottle or you're cooked.
Did he get it?
And you'll
it
be
going?
The only thing cooked at this barbecue.
He had one job.
He had one job and he ruined it.
That's terrible.
Danny. Hey,
hello, Danny.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Yeah, good. What's your one job example?
I think it's called the Cloudwater Beer Festival in Manchester, England. It had to be cancelled.
The Cloudwater Beer Festival, why?
They didn't have a licence.
See, now that's pretty much like we said.
Well, that's pretty stupid, isn't it?
That is a venue that doesn't have alcohol, and it's a beer festival. So all of a sudden, people who want to have a beer can't have a beer.
Nothing there.
Was it cancelled in advance or on the day?
I think it was cancelled in advance, but not...
Jeez.
Dropped out.
He dropped out.
He's gone.
All right. Yeah. You had one job, Telstra.
That's right.
How many times have you uttered that phrase? All right. Let's go with Gabby.
Hey, guys.
Good. Yeah, Gabby. One job. Who talking about?
It was an electrician round at my place recently. He had one job to fix my hot water.
Yes.
And what happened?
He did not fix my hot water. He managed to shock himself twice on our electricity system. And then he had
one job.
And then what?
He charged me $800.
Oh.
Didn't even fix it.
That's not fair.
He hasn't fixed it. He's shocked himself twice and then charged you $800, shocking you in the process.
We used another electrician to fix it after that. We didn't trust him anymore.
No, that's not on. Come in,
That's sad. Jason, who had one job, mate?
Mate, I had a customer about 5 years ago, father of the bride. Lives on acreage, had about a 350,000 litre pool, which is like an oasis where the wedding backdrop was supposed to be.
Yep.
Had one job to do for the whole year, which was make sure the pool was right. Walked in the day before the wedding, pool was green, pool was a swamp.
You had like one job to do here.
That's all they wanted,
water,
the nice pool. Wow, I'm sure that went down really well with the father of the bride.
Never seen him since. I think he's buried in the bottom of a tennis court over the top right now.
He could be in the pool. It's hard to tell. There's
all the algae.
That much stuff floating around. Well done, everybody. We get the idea. I think we've had fun here. You get one job, you get one crack at it, and you failed. Well done. A celebration of failure.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy.
They've read every mag, tweet and blog and spoken to every unnamed source, so you don't have to. Kennedy Molloy's Showbiz Report.
Well, this makes me happy. I'm sure it will make you happy, Mick.
What?
There's a Grease prequel in the works. Yes, Grease.
Yeah, I hope it's as good as the sequel.
Oh, yeah.
There's a...
Grease 2.
Grease 2, which I think was superseded the original.
Oh, you're off your tree today.
Maxwell
There's
Caulfield.
Something wrong with you.
Caulfield Maxwell brought...
And Michelle Pfeiffer.
To Danny Zuko, the old Danny Zuko.
Oh, no, that was disgraceful.
He was fantastic.
No, I bet you can't remember one song from Grease 2.
Unana Haya.
Because Unana this Haya. Was from Grease 1...
It does make you feel good when you hear this.
It does. They're going to talk about Danny and Sandy's love story.
One of the great girls' slumber parties scenes in all movies. That's
look
how
at me,
I imagine.
I'm Sandra Day.
That's how I imagine all girls' slumber parties to be. All girls in their gym jams, sitting around talking about boys,
smoking cigarettes,
writing in their diaries.
You know what's funny though, when you look back at that film, and they're all supposed to be in high school. Olivia Newton-John was 35 at the time she did that movie, and so are half the cast. When you look back, they're not really
who's
like you.
Who's Rizzo your favourite? You loved Rizzo.
Bad girl.
No, I liked Olivia Newton-John.
No, Kinnicky. I liked Kinnicky.
Oh, Kinnicky,
and God rest his soul.
Hey, because I don't think you should not be bringing this up again, or I'm going to have to play it.
Who has long passed.
I'm going to have to play it.
I felt I had a connection with him. Don't play it.
No. Please, have you got it, Dave?
I always felt I had a connection with Kinnicky.
No, there's no connection whatsoever.
Dave, I think this is it.
You lost a cast member this week, did you, from Greece?
Jeff,
yeah.
I don't know that he has.
Oh, pardon me. I may have gone. No, he's very unwell.
He's very ill. He was married to my sister, and she's been in there, and he's not doing very well.
Okay, sorry to hear that.
You killed Kinnicky.
You actually said to Olivia Newton-John, I may have gone too early here. That's what you said, and you were.
Again, I was ultimately proved right. So I was first with the news.
I hope Olivia's not listening. Every time we play that, I'm hoping she's not in a car listening. That's terrible. Anyway.
She's still with us.
What do you think about that, everyone? Greece, and it's going to be called Summer Loving.
Hang on, but what's it about?
It is about Danny and Sandy, their romance they had before they go back to high school, you know, when they go,
summer of love.
Yes.
Was that okay? Was that so element? Was there something dubious about the relationship?
Well,
didn't he force her down in the sand?
I thought so. I wasn't happy about it.
Isn't that what it said?
He said we got dirty down in the sand.
Given the current climate, I'm not sure. Yeah.
I think it's a hashtag Me Too
they'll
thing.
They'll have to tidy that up.
They will.
The Weinstein about that movie.
maybe he's producing it.
It's a little grabby.
It's a bit handsy, Danny.
It's a bit handsy. Get your hands off it. It's a bit down in the sand and sand in your pants.
Down in the sand.
No. I'm off that now.
No, I don't like it.
I want to see that stupid prequel.
Awful.
All right. What's
a prequel? Can you make a prequel of anything? I'd like to see a prequel to Dude, Where's My Car? Like well before he lost the car, just to know what was going on.
Star Wars has prequel. Get with the program, mate. What's your other showbiz news?
That was the one I was going to do.
What one?
Greece.
What?
What do you got?
Well, I've got one.
What have you got?
Well, you know The Crown, which is one of my favourite. Listen, sometimes you're really belligerent and it annoys me, but I've said to you,
what are you talking about?
That The Crown on Netflix is a really great series.
It is good.
You don't have to be. You don't have to be girly or anything.
Everyone at home right
that
now,
is pathetic.
I'm
Come
yawning.
On. I watch motor racing documentaries, and I don't yawn
for
at
the
that.
Accidents. You like seeing men. I like seeing carnage. What about The Crown? Tell me about The Crown. What are the dresses like?
The second series. Third series is about to be screened.
Yeah.
But then for the fourth season, they bring in Princess Diana.
Oh, right.
And an unknown
actress. Not the real Princess Diana. What, Weekend at Bernie's style? Look out, here she comes. Ooh, it's a bit woofy.
No. They've cast a girl called Emma Corrin, and she's going to play Princess Diana. And she's beyond excited and honoured to be joining The Crown for its fourth season. I've been glued to the show since the first episode. And to think I'm now joining this incredibly talented acting family is just surreal. Princess Diana was an icon to me. Anyway, she goes on. She bangs on. Anyway, she's been cast.
I remember when Kate, at the wedding, she said she didn't want... They removed the words obey from...
Where are you heading with this?
And I thought, good on you. Mm. It's modern... It's a great take because I've always felt as a princess, the only thing you need to obey is the speed limit inside a Parisian tunnel. I really do.
All right.
And if you can...
I wonder how they'll recreate that. You can watch it then. Then you'll be interested, won't you?
That,
hey, I'm just going to quickly say, this news has been hushed.
What are you talking about?
Yesterday at about 5:30, this news broke about Prince William having an affair.
All right, hold on.
What?
Hold the phone. Right.
Well, you better hold
There's
on, everyone.
A hook if ever right. I've heard hey, one.
I'm up with the news.
I'm in. Well, I'm go. More with that right after this.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Prince William's lawyer has tried to suppress rumours of an affair.
You love
now,
this stuff.
Now, this
don't
popped
you?
Up on my radar yesterday. It's been shut down. Like now, Rupert Murdoch has got. They've contacted Rupert. They've contacted everyone. They said, close it. close it down. It's not to get out. But I saw it for a second, and I.
So you biting on this because you're usually very cynical about the women's mags and these stories that emanate from the House of Windsor. But you're buying.
I'm buying that there could be something in this.
So what is it? Tell us the story.
All right. He may have had an affair with his aristocratic neighbour, Rose Hanbury, also known as the...
Is that a real name? Or is
I have to ask Ben Elton how you pronounce this. Marchioness of Cholmondeley. So she's some wanky sort of rich chick.
If you're going to be the Marchioness of something, Cholmondeley's not a great one, is it?
Not great.
Cholmondeley, here
she
comes.
Apparently he had an affair with her...
She owns half a Cholmondeley.
While Kate Middleton was pregnant with their third child, Louis.
Okay. This sounds terrible, this
now,
story already.
Apparently she heard the rumours herself. Kate immediately confronted William, who laughed it off, saying, oh, there's nothing to it. However, despite William's denials... Kate ordered Williams to stop socialising with the Cholmondeleys. And Kate made it very clear.
These are their last days at the Cholmondeleys.
It's the it is the Cholmondeleys. But it's spelt differently, and I'm not going to tell you how to spell it. All right, I will. It looks like
this is the worst royal report.
It's not terrible. You keep interrupting me. Yeah. Kate has decided, I'm going to call this girl Rose Hanbury now. Kate decided, I don't like her. Let's ice her. So with all her girlfriends and, they have their get-togethers and their coffee mornings and their baby mornings. She's frozen her out. And everybody's going, why is that happening? What's going on there? Well, now it's all come to a head.
And who are you citing? Who's the, is this a
Look, I think AAP's as the future king of England, are you telling me this is not, you've got to give him something, don't you? Well, are you telling me he's going to be the first king of England to never have an affair?
I feel sorry for the royals today because in the old days there were a few perks, i.e. eight wives.
Correct.
I'll take a mistress. I'll start my own religion. Yeah. Right. I don't like that.
Or I'll just chop someone's head off willy-nilly.
I'll sit at the table and eat a turkey leg with my hand.
With a stupid hat on.
I'm going to order everyone to wear pantaloons. And they will.
Correct.
But these days you get nothing. You just get a camera.
You've got
to be on
best behaviour.
Through your bedroom window at 400 metres and you take the...
This is why I'm concerned. I think there is something in it. And you know what? They will not break up. Do you know why? Yeah. Because he's going to be head of the Church of England and they can't get divorced.
The hardest thing to accept about that story is that Prince William's getting a root outside of Royal Channel.
He's gorgeous.
It's pretty much mandated.
Prince William's gorgeous.
Oh, come on. Yeah, have you seen him dance? Remember him dancing at the ski lodge?
Yeah. Oh, I don't care. Oh, actually, that was embarrassing.
Well, you're a Prince Edward man. So
I'm off him.
You're off your furious pen pal.
I'm off him.
For 20 years.
Well, he
years,
never wrote back.
You wrote him letters.
His butler wrote to me.
His butler wrote.
Doesn't count.
Butler gave you the brush off.
Stick around, everyone.
Butler's gone,
we'll get to the bottom of this with Ben Elton, I'm sure. He'll know.
So many questions to ask Ben Elton on so many things. You know what? He's agreed to hang around, so you might even get to ask him a question yourself.
Brilliant. Good idea. Takes a chance.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Molloy.
It's going to be massive, people. It could. Hello.
They're up pretty high,
Ben. Did you just swear?
Ben,
help me. Just...
We are going. Ben, we're going live across Australia
now. When Mick says it's going to be massive, people, in your ear like that.
All right,
put them
hold
on
the
again.
Phone,
you've got to listen to what's coming up.
We're coming up. It's going to be. It's going to be a Ben Elton heavy hour as we wait on into the big second hour. We're going to do bad parenting, Jane Kennedy.
Well, don't look at me when you say bad parenting.
Yes, we could do a whole hour.
Well, bad parenting, all I need to say is Felicity Huffman and Laurie Loughlin.
Coming
very
up,
much.
We'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets, but we've pretty much cleared the decks for this bloke.
Ben Elton's comedy pedigree is unsurpassed. Having written Blackadder and The Young Ones...
I think you did it on purpose because you know I've got a runny bottom.
...and appearing on one known quite well on this show, Frontline, being interviewed by a very unimpressed Brooke Vandenberg.
Ben, well, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, just warming up. Is
well,
it over?
Thank you, Ben. Yes, it's over. Oh. Thank you very much.
Ben's written plays and musicals like We Will Rock You and collabed with The Wiggles. like our very own Dentist Jane.
I'm going to put my gloves on now. Ooh.
And his brand new 16th novel, Identity Crisis, could well be written about our Mickey. It features a grouchy old cop named Mick who doesn't understand the modern digital world.
Trying to tiptoe his way through this blizzard of hashtags while trying not to give offence.
Would you please welcome a comedy icon, Ben Elton.
Sir Ben or Ben Elton? Is it?
Can you answer this, please?
The Marquis of Elton.
I'm certainly not a Marquis or Marchioness. But I've never been offered anything. I think they think I'd probably turn it down. That's my thought. Frankly, after they knighted Baldrick, I thought the currency has been debased. With deepest respect to Tony, who I love.
But
you should have seen Rowan's face when he got the news. Because honestly, the fact that Baldrick got knighted before Blackadder was just stunningly great karma. I felt it was like a queen definitely has a sense of humour.
Well, mentioning Blackadder, I'm going to get to this. We are going to get to your brilliant book very soon. Yes. So calm the farm, everyone. But there was one of these polls taken today by Radio Times in England, which puts Blackadder at fourth on the list of most popular sitcoms of all time.
But what does it precede?
What does the British public know? They voted for Brexit.
Pointing out it's very complimentary, Ben. Yeah. And number one was Fawlty Towers, Father Ted.
Yeah.
I'm Alan Partridge, Blackadder. I would suggest that perhaps Alan Partridge is not a sitcom.
Where's the young ones? And where's my latest one, Upstart Crow, which is brilliant.
Is it?
Let's give a shout out to that.
Exactly. Oh, well, that's about Shakespeare, starring David Mitchell.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. But these polls, honestly, they had one about 10 years or 15 years ago, and Men Behaving Badly was number one. It's just who knows?
Is there ever a chance we'll see another Blackadder series? Is there
no, I don't think so. We're all still good friends, and the reason for that is
because we don't do any more
Blackadders. They're probably the time in which we were all least close to each other was when we were making out.
Did the Americans ever ask to do an adaptation of one of your sitcoms? I've seen this before. Fawlty Towers, they famously made an adaptation of Fawlty Towers but decided the main character was too nasty.
That's famous.
So they made him nice. And then they went to do Ab Fab but decided to take out all the alcohol and drug references.
I think they're getting better at adapting. I think The American Office, for instance, worked pretty well.
Yeah.
We've never had a nibble. I mean, back in the 80s, there was no connection. I mean, honestly, it was... I went to the LA Comedy Store in 1987 when I was over there actually trying to develop a sitcom with the Fonz, Henry Winkler. Come on. But anyway, I was over there and I thought, I've got to get up and do a gig. And so I actually rang up. Three of the comics that were on that night had been on my show Saturday Live, the precursor of the big gig.
Ripper.
You know, I was mates. And I was saying, look, I just thought maybe I'd come and do, 5 minutes. I know some of the guys on tonight. Oh, how do you know them? They were on my show. And the guy, this is true. He said, oh, so you're big in England, are you? I said, well, I suppose I could actually say I was. He said, yeah, well, we had a guy in last night was big in Texas and he was... And that was that. They weren't interested in English comics in those days.
Good
it's
Lord.
Great now with things like, Ricky and Russell... Yeah. Doing all the stuff over there, but it wasn't the case. Rick never got phoned. Rowan didn't.
Yeah.
It's the way it goes.
It
meant I got to come over here a lot.
Well, it did mean, which we've loved
You're
having you here for many years.
You mentioned the young ones, and to me, the young ones is just one of the greats. It's a game changer for me. I remember watching it at home on my own on a little black and white TV and going, what the hell is this?
Some of these people.
I've been waiting for this. And I must owe you royalties. I've got to come clean because a line I use a lot, all the time, without attribution, is let's ride to the gates of oblivion on a horse called Destiny, which was a line uttered by Rick Mayle.
Ride to the gates of oblivion on a horse called Destiny. All right.
And I can't help it. But whenever I get asked a question, I don't know the answer to.
Yeah. Well,
that's pretty much where I go.
Writing that sort of stuff was such good fun for Rick. You know, he was one of my dearest
Indeed.
Friends. I think of him often. It's now tinged with sadness, the memories of the young ones. Some of your audience will be too young to...
Not too bad.
They need an
broad.
Education here.
It's nearly 40 years ago. So it's lovely to hear that it's still thought so highly of, particularly I like to think of adolescent Mick, with his little black and white TV alone in his room.
And who did you want to be in the young ones? Who was your most aspirational character?
There's a little bit of everyone.
Oh, he's a Vivian, everyone. His microphone technique alone makes him a Vivian.
And the banging on the table, which is he's prone to do a lot. When we come back, we're just going to go to a song. Mm-hmm. When we come back, I want to talk about We Will Rock You.
Oh, by all means.
Wow, you just
said. And then we will get you your book, Identity Crisis.
Don't you worry.
The 16th.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Ben Elton is our special guest. His brand new book, Identity Crisis, is available in stores right now.
And we're about to get to that. You were just mentioning, we were talking about this list of great sitcoms. And you said, oh, they're all 40 years old and they're all this. And you go, you make a good point, but it's been replaced by reality TV, hasn't it? Do you think in a strange way? Do you think?
No, I don't think it's been replaced.
They're making less of these.
Well, they make less of the traditional style comedies. Studio, yes. Most of those on the list are studio comedies that were done with an audience. A lot of people think the laughter's canned. It's not. No. You know, it's just recorded live, and it's a very different experience. I did a lecture about this on the BBC, actually, the Ronnie Barker Memorial Comedy Lecture I delivered a couple of years ago on the subject of a sort of
Your Majesty.
Yes, I know, better than a knighthood. On the curious snob that surrounds kind of the idea that anything sort of done mockumentary style without a laughter track and, you know, is somehow proper comedy and that done with an audience. Anything that's trying to be funny, it's the biggest sneer, they're trying to be funny.
You.
But the fact is that if people weren't trying to be funny, there'd be no fault between them. Of course they're trying to be funny. They're just trying to do it in a cool sort of hipster way.
It's pretty hard.
Yeah, it's funny is hard, particularly when you've got an audience in front of you. Yeah,
that's right. You don't die wondering. You don't have to get up and read the papers to find out how you went.
I mean, Blackadder got good, I have to say. When, you know, I didn't do the first series, but the second series, which I started, which is where really Blackadder starts with Baldrick Stupid and Blackadder Bright. That was done in front of an audience. The first series was done on film, on, you know, like a sort of movie comedy. Yes. But that's not what we do well in.
And the third series, of course, which is just the high water mark with Hugh Laurie. That's
Hugh Laurie is brilliant.
Just is off the chain. Yeah. It's one of the great comic performances of all time. I mentioned that reality because you wrote a book based around a Big Brother.
About 15 years ago. Yeah, no, number one Britain, number one in Australia. What can I tell you?
It was incredible.
It was a murder mystery set in the Big Brother house.
Does this mean you had to sit through a lot of episodes of the show?
When it was interesting, I did. Yeah. I watched the second series in Britain and Australia.
Yeah.
And it was great in those days. No, it was fascinating telly.
It was great because they didn't let them do anything.
No.
They didn't give them tasks or projects. They sat there and bored the crap out of them.
But there was also no Instagram. There was no social media, so they didn't realise they would be going to become huge megastars for a minute.
But also, they didn't realise that the edit was going to construct completely different people to who they actually were. That was what I was revealing in the book. And everyone knows it now. They're all playing for the edit. But at the time, they curiously thought that if they said something nice, it might get broadcast. No. Only if you say something horrible.
Listen up, sister.
Absolutely.
All right. Which
can I talk
us
through the book too?
Because
I'm saving it. I'm about to go on holiday, school holidays time. I'm going to go away with my twin boys. And I'm going to bunker myself down and read this book because everything about it appeals to me. And I've read many of your books, Ben, I have to say, and loved them all.
Thank you. I'd love to see you think you're thumbing through me.
Don't worry. I do it in bed.
Late at night,
yes.
Shall I turn the lights down in the studio here?
Oh, look, we go way back. Now, you say no one's safe. You set up everything from the fake news culture. Now, extreme gender politics, which is big on I said it on my Twitter feed from some really annoying Australian male politicians mostly have something to say about that. Political sloganism and the power of the hashtag. Now, about, I don't know, is it 8 years ago, 7 years ago, we wouldn't even know what the hashtag was. Right. Now I get in trouble if I say at home in front of my children, hashtag, that's scary, and they say, Mum, go away and stop trying to be cool.
That's mum speak. Definitely. I mean, what was cool yesterday, you can't, trying to keep up with young people's speak is absolutely impossible.
It is.
And as a parent, you realise, you know, I reckon even Elvis, I reckon, you know, Lisa Marie, when it's a dirge, you're just not cool. I'm the king.
Yes.
How can you say I'm not cool?
So how is all that cool? How is all that woven into this script?
Well, Identity Crisis is, it's a very modern, very zeitgeisty. I've spent the last 5 years doing historical novels, doing comedies about Shakespeare. This is the 21st century. You know, it's about this cop who's a bit of a middle-aged dad man, as I indeed am myself. He's always thought he was on the side of the angels, quite radical, you know, very much into an inclusive society, multicultural society. But suddenly realising, since things are moving so quickly, he's out of the loop. Things are changing quicker than he can. And in the meantime, he's investigating these murders that are based around identities. And of course, normally to a cop, your identity is your name, your age.
Yeah.
Correct.
But of course, these days, identity is an incredible incredibly powerful force in society, and everybody's yes. defining themselves by their sexuality, by their gender, by their religion, their race, what they eat. Are they a carnivore? Are they a vegan?
Hey, don't mention the V word in this country at the moment.
Exactly. You know, what? So many, are you plus sized? Are you anorexic? Yeah, and everyone's got their own.
You strike me as pretty fluid.
Massively.
It's the world of labels,
Exactly. Yeah. And he's completely confused. He's trying to investigate these murders, discovering that something about identity is in the case. Meanwhile, putting his foot in it constantly because, of course, Christ. The new language of identity is extremely hard to navigate and yes. everybody is nervous of saying the wrong thing. And that's quite a corrosive thing socially. I mean, it makes people nervous. When people are nervous, they get resentful. When they get resentful, they get angry and then they vote for Brexit and Trump.
And that's
in a way partly what the book's about. Fantastic. It's an increasing age of outrage and it's a lot of laughs. It's a full-on
Is it hard writing a book in the age of emojis? Are you dumbing it down these days?
How do you do it in pictures? No, it's not. I don't know about emojis for novels. Well, imagine it. It'd be quite a good comedy book for Christmas, wouldn't it? Dickens, emojis.
One of those sold at the counter, perhaps.
Boys with bowls of soup in front.
Have you ever used an emoji? You don't strike.
No, I'm not a socially media person. Okay. I want to retain my sanity. I'm a writer. If I was on Twitter, I'd spend my life in an essay crisis trying to write one line bon mot. Also, apparently, everybody slags you off. And I've spent my life trying to avoid being slagged off. To me, going on Twitter is like saying, hey, every heckler in the country, I'm here.
Kick me in the balls. Just line up and kick me in the
balls. Best decision you've ever made and never jump on board, I have to tell you. Will you stick around?
I'll tell you what,
there's so many fans of yours in this country. And if you've got any questions or anything you want to ask Ben, there's so many things you might want to touch.
Ask.
1-333-53 Ben is here. He's happy to have a chat. We've got lots of people, and here's something to think about when we come back. Kim Fisher has asked, will you be doing any more stand-up?
Oh,
Ben Elton, hold that thought.
The drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Absolutely thrilled to have Ben Elton in studio. Identity Crisis is the book. You want to get that in stores now.
Now, we've adopted you as one of our own. You hail from Fremantle. All our West Australian listeners will be listening as we speak.
And we best say why we've adopted you as one of our own, because you married a beautiful Australian
woman. Came over here, you took all our women.
I took one. You see, this is fake news, isn't it? Listen to that. Look, what an exact. That's outrageous. You could be Donald Trump. Take our women.
Three children.
Anyway, I didn't take one. I was taken. You were taken. I arrived. Yes, three children, and they're all dual citizenship.
Empty nesters.
Yes, the nest is empty.
Fremantle's your home, so that's where you're writing.
It has been for the last. We've been based in Fremantle. Of course, we live in both countries. I particularly, because most of my work's in Britain.
Yeah.
But we were basically, we'd done the high school years over here. The kids went to school, the first half of their schooling we did in Britain with the sort of British family and life, and then second half in Frio. So, yes, very much Australia. I've been a citizen since 2002, you know.
Oh, well
went
done.
To a wonderful ceremony. They had Lamingtons and everything.
Welcome aboard.
As they should.
A most overrated cake, if you don't mind my saying so.
Go right ahead.
Yes. How dare you? Hey, we've got
the thinnest smear of chocolate I've ever seen on any sponge in my life.
It's a hint,
and
we
coconut,
say.
Please.
Hint
anyway.
Of chocolate and jam. Sure.
Let's go to our listeners. Darren, you've got a question for the great Ben Elton.
Yeah, g'day, Mick and Jane. Love your show, by the way. Just like to congratulate Ben. The Thin Blue Line, which you wrote with Rowan Atkinson. What a classic show that was.
I didn't write it with Rowan Atkinson. I wrote it for Rowan Atkinson.
Oh, okay. Well,
he couldn't write a gag if he did. All he can do is stutter.
They're obviously still good friends, Darren.
No, he's a genius performer, and he is a very close friend of mine. But I'm glad you love The Thin Blue Line. I was very disappointed not to see it in the top 20 of the British sitcoms, but as I say, their voting record in Britain is so tarnished now that I take it almost as a privilege that only one of my classic sitcoms was in the top 20 this time.
It's great to hear. Thanks, Darren.
Glad you love The Thin Blue Line.
Speaking of classic sitcoms, we've got two of them here. Hi, Daniel. Here's Ben for you.
Hi, Mick and Jane. How are you going?
Yeah, good.
Love the show. I'm just wondering if you hear stories about Robin Williams in, is it Morty, Mick and Morty or whatever it was. Did you guys use any recreational substances when you were writing?
Live on air. You heard it first on Kennedy Malloy.
I like the subtle way you said that.
Yes, remember, there's a knighthood in the balance.
Yeah, I think Robin Williams has spoke very movingly about his struggles with addiction. Yes, there was one very, very definite recreational substance. that we all used in those days, which was booze. You used to be able to booze at work. I mean, honestly, BBC culture in the early 80s, you went to the pub at lunchtime and had two or three pints. I couldn't, I mean, I love to drink still, and I'm an evangelist for the booze. I mean, honestly, I wish the blooming governments had stopped wagging their fingers at us, putting labels on, could harm an unborn child. I'm not going to give it to an unborn child. I'm going to drink it myself. And then this is a new one. They say, oh, you might lose 2 years of your life. Oh. Yeah, which 2 years? The last two. That's which I'm happy to lose those. Anyway, yeah, we used to
There's
drink.
Your answer, Daniel.
I've never been interested in the legal drugs. I like the legal ones too.
The legal ones are too good. Yeah. I have to say, most of my comedy has been powered by alcohol at some stage.
Well, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Don't drink.
Hello, Paul.
Hi, how are you guys?
Yeah, good. What would you like to say?
Mate, going back to the young ones days, Vivian had this fantasy or fetish about Felicity Kendall.
No, it wasn't Rick. It was Rick. Vivian hated the good life, and I hate it. Everyone in Britain's a lovable, middle-class eccentric, and I hate it. And then Rick said, well, you can blooming well shut up, Vivian. If you've got something to say about Felicity Kendall, you can blooming well say it to me. And that's from a very long time ago. And it was a great memory. I wrote that, and I'm very proud of it. And did you personally have something for Felicity Kendall?
Of
course, who didn't fancy Flick Kendall. She was the most gorgeous.
She was in Butterflies, wasn't she? No, that was Wendy Craig.
No, it was a show called The Good Life.
Oh, I love that show.
Which was, she was a brilliant actress and also a hot blonde, red, cracking easy on the eye, as they say.
Are we allowed to even say that anymore?
Yes, we are.
I don't know in these PC days.
Ben, on our show, you're allowed to say anything you like, as we've both discovered.
The world's gone mad. You can't even give a harassed junior employer an overlong and creepy hug anymore. What's happened to the world?
I tell you, we get to the end of every show and heave a sigh of relief. Ben, you go, well, I appear to have got through another one unscathed.
I think we might go. I might just get on to my questions now, because I wanted to talk about We Will Rock You, which was one of the most successful musicals of all time, which you co-wrote, of course, with Andrew Lloyd Webber.
He wishes. He hasn't had a hit like that since the 80s.
He hasn't.
Certainly not with me. I did write a musical with Andrew Lloyd Webber and it flopped.
Oh, did it? Oh, that was. Oh, I know which one that was. Was that Beautiful Game?
The Beautiful Game. Yes. But it didn't flop. It just, it was never going to be a massive. It was springtime for Hitler, basically, because it was about terrorism. It was about the genesis of a terrorist. It was a very serious musical about the Northern Ireland troubles in 1969. But We Will Rock You was a
We Will Rock You, of course.
Slightly more uplifting.
Yes, and opened all over the world and has been so successful.
You're ahead of the curve. So everyone's gone Queen Mad.
We were slagged to death. Apparently it was like almost a betrayal of supposedly being a bit of a cool lefty. I did a musical and a musical with Queen. I love musicals. I played the Artful Dodger twice as a child.
You're talking to the right people here. And Mick has been in musical himself.
You do a good Fagin these days.
You do a good Fagin. Shut up and drink your gin.
But also it was the fact that you already tug, because we all love Queen, and you saw how ripe it was to just celebrate the music of Queen, and Bohemian Rhapsody.
I know, they've gone enough, but they were in a bit of a trough when they approached me. I mean, early 2000, about 1999 we started, and they said, let's do something with the greatest hits, and it was actually a time when it was, will this work, won't it work? I mean, they paid for it, risked a lot of money, but
isn't that fantastic, though? Because also it's great faith in yourself as well.
Yeah, it was
Queen.
Very, very, I was deeply proud to be asked. Very proud to be asked. They wanted it to be funny. I remember Brian and Roger saying to me, they say Freddie was always had a good laugh, and they've got a great sense of humour. People think Brian's this terribly serious guy, and sometimes he is, but he's also a brilliant laugh, as is Roger. We had a wonderful time.
That's great. Wonderful.
Just quickly, stand-up. We mentioned stand-up. Yes. You're going to do it. You're very good at it.
Back on the road, first time in 15 years.
Oh, come on!
Great to hear.
I've booked a UK tour for this autumn. I'm doing 70 dates in Britain. Written a script, so slightly squeaky trouser time, but I shall no doubt get there in the end. And then I'll be touring in Australia.
Permission
Australia.
To shout bravo in an annoyingly loud manner. Permission granted. Bravo!
Well, we insist that you come back on the show when you're touring, and we will be the first to book seats, so everybody stand by.
I would love to come back and plug the bejesus out of my doorway.
In the meantime, this is a page turner. Yeah. If I don't say so myself, Ben Elton, Identity Crisis, a modern classic. This is destined to be.
Well,
get on board,
it's,
Sir Ben Elton. You are, in my eyes, you've
let
been.
Let me turn it down live. Let me turn it down live on air. I reject your elevation.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Mom! What kind of mother am I?
I'm up for filing you.
I'm afraid I'll be forced to call social services.
You know, when I was little, I used to pretend you weren't my mother.
Me too.
Time now for another entry into the Journal of Bad Parenting.
Gee, we move on quickly. I didn't even get to digest having Ben Elton in the studio.
He was great. It's always good to have him on. Let's have him on
even
longer.
He is one of the greats.
Gee, he does a lot of stuff.
To get the third series of Blackadder out. And the Young Ones. I just,
man. Hall of Fame.
If you've never seen Blackadder, go and check it out, please. Yeah. Or even indeed the Young Ones. For starters.
Now, we're doing Bad Parenting. Yes. This is right in your wheelhouse, Kennedy.
Well, it is a bit. This one I just fascinated me. I'm going to start with this one. A mum was horrified because her little kids got into her booze cupboard, as she calls it. Who has a booze cupboard? It's just lying around everywhere at my house.
It's called my fridge.
It's called her booze cupboard, where she'd hidden Easter eggs, and was horrified. Right. The little boys, I think, got up at very early in the morning and ate through all the chocolate. They were 3.5 and 2. I went, oh, well, big deal. Who cares? She had $200 worth of Easter eggs.
Nah.
Who buys that for a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old?
Nah.
And then hides them in a booze cupboard. This is bad parenting.
$200? Nah. What the hell?
A, you've got a booze cupboard, and B, you're putting $200 worth of chocolates.
But I'm seeing chocolate advertised on the telly for like $2.
Oh, yeah, Humpty Dumpty downstairs for $5.
What's adds up to $200? Nah. That's bad parenting. Bam. Yeah. First one.
$200 worth of chocolate.
That's a lot of chocolate. Too much. Unless it's Haig's chocolate. That's very expensive.
Right.
Once again, you give yourself away. You don't, you. It's like travelling to Paris for a strawberry. You've always got revealing little...
Oh, God bless me.
I bet you buy that one that comes as an orange, don't you?
I hate it. The Terry's.
It's got the slices. Ugh,
my sister and I couldn't stand it. When people used to come to dinner parties, mum and dad's, and we go... Please bring the after dinner mints, not the Terry's
The after dinner mints.
They were the best.
When you got a mint slice, one of those after dinner mints.
That and leftover gin and tonic my sister and I grew up on. Anyway, speaking of bad parenting.
I'd like to name your parents. I hope you're happy, Mr. and Mrs. Kennedy.
Mm. Yes, they are. Don't worry.
Yes.
We have what to turn the radio up. They can't hear very well. Laurie Loughlin has officially been...
Who's Laurie Loughlin?
You know, she is the one who was in Full
House. Yeah.
And was one of those evil people who paid for their children to get into university.
Bad
paid
parent.
To have their kids' results altered and people basically cheating.
So basically ends up taking the place of kids who are deserving.
That's right.
Just possibly not as well off.
This is an update.
Boo!
Update on this. And Felicity Huffman has pleaded guilty. And it's so sickening. She's actually put out a statement and admitting to it all and saying, I mean, I don't know how. She said, I'm in full acceptance of my guilt. My daughter knew absolutely nothing about my actions. And in my misguided and profoundly wrong way, I have betrayed her. You think? You think, Felicity? It's worldwide news, dude. That's going to be. That's going to take a lot of iPhones and makeup. You know,
just bad parenting.
Away.
What about Chris Hemsworth?
Oh yeah.
Hang on.
Oh, what?
Well, why is Chris Hemsworth does nothing wrong?
Mate, he's never
not a bad
home.
Parent.
He's
home all the time. He's always posting pictures with his children.
No, that just annoys me so much. He's always either surfing with his daughter. Or
he's married to a hot wife.
Mucking around. Yeah. Oh,
what's he done?
Can you put him on the list of people I want to be?
What's he done that's bad?
Well, he's revealed how he stuck 2 Snickers bars in his young daughter's shoes.
Yeah.
So she was tall enough to go on a roller coaster ride at Disneyland.
Hang on.
Now this
is suspiciously sounding familiar.
I think he's been sitting up there listening to our show.
I think you're right.
Sitting up there.
Where
is it? Hayden Island or something?
Byron Bay.
Yeah.
Actually, not quite in Byron Bay, a little bit out of Byron Bay, to be specific.
He's built a Chadston-style shopping centre in the hinterland.
He's got his own postcode now.
He's got his own postcode. And we've got a call. Yeah. But we got this call, call, about bad parenting.
We think it might have helped his idea.
Her name was Jane.
I don't know if you remember Wonderland.
Australia's Wonderland.
I do, yes.
It's a ride.
It's a theme park.
And you had to be a certain height to get on the ride.
Yeah.
And my daughter was very short for her age, so I bought her those big high sneakers.
That added about 10 centimetres, did it?
Jane,
that's it got her past the 160 mark.
Well, that's a prize.
She's 29 now and she still talks about it.
Oh, my God.
Sneakers so I could get on the rides at Wonderland.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You're a good mum. There you go. So maybe,
He did have a little bit of buyer's regret because he said, as we're sitting in the chair and we got through, I was thinking maybe there's a reason really little kids aren't allowed on this ride. And as they're strapped in and it's going up higher and higher and it's a little scary.
Bad parenting all around, though.
That'd be the reason.
And I knew there was a dark side to Chris Hemsworth.
Not really, though.
His brother Liam has still got to face the music.
Stop it.
We have a showbiz feud on.
You don't. He's made up.
He's totally unaware of it.
A drive home with a show motto is what could possibly go wrong. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Got rid of the front bar tickets?
I believe, Justin, you've got the tickets to the front bar, mate.
Thank you very much, guys.
Who do you support? Who's your team, Justin?
St Kilda.
Get off, so Justin. you're off to a flyer, mate. Well done. Good luck. Yes. See you there.
Enjoy the show.
Wait.
And
Paul Kelly tonight.
That's
I can't.
Great.
He's this guy. He does no media. He's a bit of a recluse. Mm. He'll plug his best mate. We've found some footage that is just incredible.
Can I say, everybody too, watching MKR? It's a really important night tonight.
Oh, what's happening?
And on My Kitchen Rules. So you're going to have one because it's going to work out who's going to be piffed off the show or not. So it's a very important episode. Stay around.
Wow.
And then straight into the front bar.
Oh, this is gold. Yeah, I can't wait. Well done, everybody.
A massive show tomorrow, by the way. KP is in the studio. Kevin Peterson.
Now
he's here for a chat.
He's got a new film called Save the Rhino that National Geographic have got behind. It's incredible. We can't wait to talk
to him.
And Amos Gill as well, who's just
funny,
great.
Funny,
so
man.
Funny. Can't wait.
Great.
That'll be the big Thursday show tomorrow. Kennedy Malloy.
Now you're caught up. Pull up your diary. You don't want to miss Milwaukee Redemption Day. April 11 only. T's and C's apply. Details at milwaukeetools.com.au.